Jesus, the radiance and power of the Father, and life of all hearts, we offer you our praise in company with the angels who ever wait on your wishes. An army of thousands upon thousands in close array fights for your cause, but Michael, their victorious leader and the standard-bearer of salvation, unfurls the standard of the cross. He casts the wicked dragon into the depths of hell and hurls Satan and his rebel followers like lightning from high heaven. Let Michael be our leader in the battle with the prince of pride, that the Lamb enthroned in heaven may reward us with the crown of glory. I think it's noteworthy that the gospel chosen to mark the event of St. Michael's feast day reminds us of our Lord's teaching concerning blessed humility. Our Lord said that unless we become as little children, we shall not enter into the kingdom of heaven. And he suggests what we all know, namely that the angels, for all their magnificence, for all their immeasurable power, for all their incredible beauty, are as simple as children before him. The lesson that we ought to keep to ourselves is this, that if the angels, whom I think of as standing taller than skyscrapers, those who actually can veritably play catch with the stars, so powerful are they, if these angels, so magnificent in their beauty that the very sight of one would cause him to think that he is laying eyes on God himself, are humble in the presence of God, how great God must be. And imagine, my dear people, how we must appear to the angels and the saints who have seen God when they behold us giving vent or expression to our pride. Imagine what they must think of us when we puff ourselves up, or when we, if you don't mind the expression, shoot off our mouths as if we were someone of great importance. And yet the angels, when looking at us and knowing God as they do, and even seeing themselves in comparison to us, must shake their heads as if they had had heads to shake at the wonder of it, that we who are so small, we who, if we do attain heaven, will be honored if ever an angel speaks to us. I think I've told you before that when I envision heaven, I imagine that we will be like little persons sitting in the bleachers watching the grand display which the angels will present constantly for the glory of God. And if perchance it happens by some turn of angelic charity that among the choruses that they sing, they allow us to sing just one note, we will be honored far beyond our deserts. Think of this, I urge you, whenever you are inclined to feel easily slighted or unjustly ignored, or if you think that you are not sufficiently appreciated or your great talents are going unsung and unnoticed, think of what you will appear and already do appear to the saints and the angels who know the greatness of God. The lesson, of course, is not only the exquisite and awe-inspiring humility of the angels who rejoice if God asks them to run a single or a simple errand. Just imagine what we must be in comparison to God if the angels, as I say, are honored if he so much as asks them a simple favor or gives them a simple task, for which they are indeed called his messengers. This should help us, because we are, of course, curiously, mysteriously indeed, because it is the mystery of iniquity that we could be boastful, that we could imagine ourselves great and deserving of great honor, that in heaven we will be such small persons, and yet we will be honored and rewarded far beyond our deserts. This is again the magnificence and the grandeur of God. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.